You're listening to the Exhibit Report Podcast, episode number 3. I'm your host, Gary Neidert. In today's episode, I'll be talking about passive versus active marketing. Here's what we'll cover today on this episode. Podcast Movement 2015, my definition of marketing, passive marketing, active marketing, and what's on the next program. Since 1992, I've been working with home improvement companies, helping them to market their business in live events, specifically home and garden shows in Texas, the Dallas Home and Garden Show, the Fort Worth Home and Garden Show. Also work with the home and garden shows in Houston. Been married for over 22 years. I'm a father. I've got one daughter. She is a social media rock star that works for a national nonprofit organization. I'm a grandfather, have a grandson and a granddaughter, and I'm a podcaster. I've got some hobbies, which include reading about marketing, developing YouTube videos, and working on my Honda Trail 90 to get it fixed up and ready to ride. My background, when I was in college, I enjoyed getting junk mail or direct mail. I really did enjoy getting that stuff in the mail. Since then, I've become a student of direct response marketing, and I've worked to apply marketing principles to selling exhibiting space, as well as working with clients as they exhibit in the home and garden shows. So why am I doing this podcast? I want to be able to inspire, inform, teach, and entertain. I want to encourage you to go beyond the comfort zone and achieve more success. Inform. I want to give you the ideas and tips to be able to market your business in live events and general marketing tips. I want to teach what I've learned as far as the marketing ideas go, as well as the exhibiting information that I've learned since 1992 and the entertainment process of it. Sometimes you'll get to enjoy my bad jokes, or as my daughter and son-in-law call them, Garyisms. And what makes them so bad is I know they're bad, but I still laugh at them anyway. So let's start off. Podcast Movement 2015. This was the first weekend of August. This was an event that took place in Fort Worth at the Omni Hotel. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the first weekend of August, like I said. And it was current and future podcasters from all across the U.S., as well as abroad. There were people from New Zealand, England, long ways away. They came there just to be able to learn from the leaders in the industry of podcasting, or some people call it internet radio. And podcasting has been around for 10 years at least, but it's starting to see a real momentum catch in this particular niche, this market. In 2007, 2008, somewhere around there, I discovered online video and the importance of using online video in marketing. And I made YouTube videos to help market myself with the home and garden shows. I still believe in video, but podcasting, I think, is a terrific medium to use in order to get your message out, your marketing message or whatever, to a broader reach of people, because you're able to listen to a podcast by way of iTunes or Stitcher through your smartphone. And soon we'll be able to do that in the new cars. The new cars are going to be Wi-Fi enabled, and you won't have to use your smartphone. Anyway, we all came there to learn from the leaders in the industry. There was a guy there, his name is Mark Maron. He's the guy that recorded a podcast with the president. It went to this guy's home and his garage, and they reported a podcast. And so he's gotten a lot of notoriety. And in his keynote presentation, he was pretty colorful in his language, but he has some great information about what to say and how to approach interviews and so forth. So that was good. There were a lot of takeaways that I walked away with from this event, and probably the one that stood out the most to me was a quote that John Lee Dumas of EntrepreneurOnFire.com used during his keynote. John Lee Dumas has become a rock star in this industry. Here's the quote. Try not to become a person of success, but rather a person of value. The person who said that was Albert Einstein. And I think that's really true. We need to focus on bringing value to our clients, to our prospects, to the people that we do business with, and then the success will come. Okay, let's get into the topic of today, passive versus active marketing. Well, I want to read you first a definition, my definition of marketing. I'll tell you, exhibiting and marketing. Exhibiting is a broad term which means setting up some type of display in an event that shows what you sell. Okay, that's a pretty good definition. I'm reading this from a book that I wrote. Marketing, on the other hand, is an ongoing action. It's not static or idle. It requires thought, movement, and energy. A company can set up a display, but not have thought, movement, or energy associated with the booth. The company that's willing to invest the energy in acknowledging every person that walks down the aisle is marketing their business. They are an active marketer, not a passive marketer. And so that's why I want to talk about passive versus active marketing. I'm going to talk about a story of two different guys, Frank and Ron. Both of them, they're in the business to make money. I mean, you're in the business to make money. So here we are with Frank. Frank is he's a passive marketer. He likes the idea of writing a check to advertise. He doesn't have to get involved with it, but he's advertising with print, radio, TV, internet, SEO. He's got a website up. He's getting some business off of it. But Frank's main deal is he wants to have people call him. And I like that. I personally like that idea, but that involves direct response marketing. Not many companies that sell advertising are proficient in direct response marketing. So here we are. We've got Frank. He needs some more business. There's somebody that's come to him and sold him on the idea of, Frank, you need to have a postcard deck. You need to be able to send out advertisement to these people in this zip code, and I'm going to do that for you. Frank says, okay, I'll write you a check. I won't have to do anything. I'll just sit back and wait for the phone calls to come in. So here we are. Frank's written the check. The company has sent out the postcards. There's not been a whole lot of thought gone into his message or how he wants people to respond. It's just a general, generic card saying, hey, I'm in business. Call me. He sends it out, and he's expecting all kinds of business to come in through this. And so here he is. He's in his office. He's got his cell phone waiting. He's in his truck. He's driving around looking for business, working, and he's just waiting for someone to call him. But what happens is the person that he's advertising to, they have to have such a compelling message that they're willing to stop what they're doing, call his phone, and tell them they're interested. But what if they're driving down the highway and they hear it on the radio? Even though we've got the cell phone in the cars now, is Frank's prospect going to just drop what they're doing and grab the phone and make the phone call? If they're really, 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 really interested in what Frank is offering, they will. If that's their pain point at the moment, they will. But typically, people won't do that. So is the ad compelling enough for the listener or the viewer to stop what they're doing and call the number? So here we have Frank. He wanted more business. He had someone that came along that was selling him a postcard deck or whatever it might be, whatever type of advertising, with the promise, yeah, you're going to make a lot of money off of it. Frank spends the money. He sits back and he waits for someone to call him. And he waits and he waits and he waits. Every now and then he might get a phone call. But what's Frank doing? He's very passive in this whole process. He's waiting on someone else to make the move instead of Frank making the move to get the business. So what happens? Frank just spent a bunch of money and didn't get much business off of it. I want to make sure that we understand everything here. As long as the advertising is refined and using direct response marketing principles, the print, radio, TV, internet, SEO, those kind of things can work, but typically they don't. Well, let's talk about Ron's story. He's an active marketer. Ron's in the same place. He needs to be able to sell a lot more than what he's doing. He wants to expand his business, and he's willing to jump in there and do whatever it takes to make his business expand, to get more business, to sell more, to add more crews, to get the business that will support more crews. So what does Ron do? Someone like myself, who works with, like I work with the Home and Garden shows, the Dallas and Fort Worth Home and Garden shows, he connects up with someone that does a live event, a consumer show. We talked about that in the episode number 2 about the difference between a trade show and a consumer show. Well, so what Ron does, he writes a check, kind of like Frank, but the difference is Ron writes a check to participate in a live event. Let's say that Ron comes to me, or I find Ron, and he wants to participate in one of my Home and Garden shows, Dallas or Fort Worth. So he writes a check, he gets a booth, and he sets up in the show. We've got people that will attend the show, the Home and Garden show, that are interested in the exhibitors that will be there. When we advertise to bring people to the show, we use print, radio, TV, internet, SEO, all those things. But we're advertising inviting people to an event so that the people, the attendees, can come and they can talk to the experts in whatever it might be, whether it's a remodeling contractor, a swimming pool contractor, someone that wants a new spa or hot tub, somebody wants an outdoor kitchen, somebody wants a pergola in their backyard, they want landscaping, they want electrical service, they want AC service for the home, all these things. So the attendees are coming to the show with the expectation of being able to find the products and services they're ready to spend money on. Ron understands that. So what Ron has done, he's invested the money to get into the show. He gets his booth. So when people walk down the aisle, Ron becomes an active marketer. How does he do that? Everybody that walks down the aisle, Ron is greeting, either Ron or his staff. He's greeting everybody that he possibly can when they walk down the aisle, saying, "Hello, how are you doing? Welcome to the show." He greets everybody. He's becoming active in what he's doing. One of the things about people that come to a show, whether it's a home and garden show, a boat show, an RV show, they're pre-qualified. So you can expect that they're going to be interested in what exhibitors are selling. And we kind of talked about that a little bit before. So Ron and his staff, they're marketing their business. They're being active in this. Ron and his staff interacts with the attendees. "Welcome to the show." And here's some of the things that he or his staff might say. Is it time for a new kitchen for your home? Oh, is it time to have new countertops put in? Is it time for a kitchen? Is it time for a bathroom facelift? He might say, "What have you heard about blank? What have you heard about? Maybe it's a new product. Maybe it's a new service. What brings you to the show? What is it you're looking for?" So he's interacting with people, and he and Ron and his staff, they're right there so that they can talk to the people and set up the appointment, get the lead, or sell whatever it is that they might be selling on location. It comes down to a two-way communication. Ron and his staff talks with the attendees. Attendees talks with Ron and the staff. It's a dialogue. Whereas in passive marketing, it's a monologue. It's a one-way communication to someone's prospect, hoping that they'll call. But with active marketing, it turns into two-way communication. So here we are. Ron is an active marketer. He pursues the revenue. He doesn't wait for it to come to him. He goes to where the people are that could potentially buy what he's selling. So there you have it. That's the difference between passive marketing and active marketing. And I want to read one more time my definition of marketing, the paragraph that I have in my book. Marketing is an ongoing action. It's not static or idle. It requires thought, movement, and energy. A company can set up a display but not have thought, movement, or energy associated with a booth. The company that's willing to invest the energy in acknowledging every person that walks down the aisle is marketing their business. They are an active marketer, not a passive marketer. So really, what would you like to be? Passive or active? Some of the things I'll be covering in future episodes, I want to be doing some interviews with experts. I have a pretty long list of people that I want to interview right now, and I think that you will really enjoy listening to each one of them. I want to find out some of their exhibiting tips, some of their business insights that help them run their business. I want to find out some of the business tools they use and how they effectively market their business, not only in home and garden shows or consumer shows, but what they do with all the other means of advertising. I don't want you to come away from this thinking that it's all about consumer shows or nothing at all. It's not that. Each one of these things are tools, whether it be print, radio, TV, internet. They're all tools to market with. The home and garden show, it's a marketing tool. When a tool is used correctly, you can do many great things. If you need a saw and all you've got's a hammer, it's not going to work very well. But you need to know how to use the hammer effectively to do the job of a hammer. So what I'm saying here is, if you're going to be an active marketer, be the best active marketer you can possibly be. If you want to be a passive marketer, that's fine. But make sure that you understand the rules and how to use direct response marketing to make those things work for you and not you just sitting around waiting as a passive listener waiting for the phone to call. Oh, I hope they call me. I hope they call me. Oh, they're going to call. No, you got to make it work. You got to make it work for you. Some of the future topics I'll be dealing with. Principles of live event marketing. It's not rocket science. Effective lead generation in a live event. Beware of the shiny object. Beware of big promises, especially from a new show or a new business. Confessions of a seasoned exhibitor. And this will be part of the interview series that we'll be doing. Why home and garden shows? This is going to be one of the most important topics that I talk about. And you need to make sure that you listen to this whenever I post this one. But it's follow-up after an event. That is the most important thing to do. And that's the most neglected thing, whether it's in consumer shows or trade shows, is the follow-up. There's power in postcards. Don't sell the job, sell the appointment. Stack the deck in your favor. Market your business in live events and let prospects know you will be at the event. The next episode, I'm going to do a replay of a podcast that I was a guest on while at Podcast Movement 2015. Kathleen Mills and Philip Crum co-host, they both co-host a program called Your Practice Mentors. Also, that was a person that was in on this recording was Michael Stelzner of Social Media Examiner. He is another rock star in the podcasting and the social media world. And he came in for just a couple of 3 minutes just to say hello. And then he had to move on to other stuff that he was doing because he was a busy guy. But it was nice to have Michael on there. I'll have links to all the different websites I've talked about on this program today. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast today, episode number 3. We're going to be on Facebook soon. So once we get there, I will let you know. Once we get on Facebook, I would appreciate it if you like my page. And as soon as we can get on iTunes, I'll let you know that. And just be sure to go in and do whatever it is on iTunes that show that you like us. And that way you can listen to us whether on the website or on iTunes. But again, thanks for taking the time to listen today. I'm Gary Neidert, and you've just experienced the Exhibitor Report podcast.